come to the time to hear our first speaker, Kathy B. Thanks so much for the introduction. Good morning. My name is Kathy B., and I'm a compulsive overeater. I haven't been to a Unity Day function in quite some time, although when I was working with the 12-Step Within Committee, we hosted a Unity function, and we had a lot of fun. So I'm really looking forward to just being able to be here and to be part of this group of wonderful people, and also to take part in the prayer that unites all of us across the world. I think that always gives me goosebumps. So when I sat down to think of what I would like to say, because I could easily stand up here and ad-lib for 20 minutes or more, but what struck me was this idea of unity and the idea that Shana brought up, that my disease does tell me that I'm different, and it tells me that I'm alone. The more different and alone I am, the stronger my disease gets to be, the more of a life it gets to have, and less of a life I get to have. So I thought about the 12 steps and tried to just step into them to think about how they apply to unity. And then I realized that in meetings I've often heard, "We admitted we." The first three words of the step, two-thirds of them are we, and that really speaks to the fact that we cannot do this alone. So I went through the steps, and the first few really shouted at me as examples of unity. So step one, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. I know that coming into this program that it had to be we, because I was not up to the task of admitting that I was powerless over food or that my life had become unmanageable. Left to my own devices, I ate to hide from life. I hid from the hate that I had for myself. And I reached for diets as the only thing that would work for me. And of course, dieting only worked for a day or a week. And then I would turn back to food, my only friend. My life became unmanageable in ways that I couldn't see without your help. When you shared how your lives were unmanageable, I got to see that mine was like that too. I thought I was either the top of the top or the bottom of the bottom, more than or less than, and was always surprised when I didn't receive the accolades that I felt I deserved in my high moments, nor did I receive the beratings that I felt I deserved in my low moments. I remember working through the workbook and not very much liking the questions that were asked about, did you really give your all to your job? Did you work? Did you give it your best? Because that was an honest look at my life and whether or not I was at doing all the things that I imagined up here that I was doing. So as much as that can be considered sort of a fall from those illusions, it's wonderful to know that falling from those illusions of greatness or those illusions of worthlessness means that I landed both feet in here and now in a humble place, a teachable place, as opposed to being humiliated or being high. When I looked at step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, I was again grateful that I did not do this alone. I came to these meetings. I saw what you all had, the peace and the serenity, the honesty that I longed for, but I couldn't find on my own. A power greater than ourselves filled these rooms, filled you people, filled me. And together, we addicts are more than I had ever, ever been, even at my best. And you accepted me, nevertheless. Excuse me. A power greater than ourselves that wasn't me. That's the unity I felt with step two. In step three, making a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Again, there's that we. It was not me, but we. When I arrived on the doorstep of Denver's welcome home meeting, I was alone. I was aching from the pain in my life. My will, though strong in other areas of my life, was never, ever enough to stop the craving, to still the hand of my disease, to keep me from yo-yoing between one weight and another. My life was little more than an unmanageable mess, one I didn't want to care for anymore. I didn't want to take care of my life because, you know, my best thinking got me to that point. I knew what I wanted it to look like. I knew that I tried again and again the same ways to make it look this way, and they never worked. I was never up to the job, not alone. I was done when I arrived at the doorstep of OA. I was defeated, and I had nowhere else to turn. So why not try this thing? Why not try this God? Why not try these 12 steps? And why not follow in the footsteps of those who went before me, who now knew freedom and happiness, who now reached out to me with hugs and smiles, tears of understanding, and most amazing of all, with the ability to laugh at the past's misfortunes. I don't know about you, but I was so tightly wound in caught up in being perfect and all of the fear that someone would find out exactly how imperfect I was, that laughter never really felt safe to me. I have a 10-year-old daughter who doesn't like laughter unless she's in the middle of giggling herself. So if you even find something that she does cute and go, oh, she thinks you're laughing at her. And I feel so sad that that has gotten passed on to her. But I'm making every point to point out that, no, that's my laughter, and it's not about you. So laughing at past misfortunes, being able to look back on the past and not wish to close the door on it, is a gift that was made possible in these rooms, and not by myself, and not by just my sponsor, but by all of you, by being together. step four and five, made a thorough and searching moral inventory of ourselves. That's just step four, and I have to say that if you all hadn't done it before me and survived, I would never have done it myself. Or if I had started that list, it would have been all about what other people had done to me. And I don't know about you, but in those four columns, I could write for years in column one and two on who it was and what they did to me. I might have been able to fill in column three and what it threatened in my life, but I more than likely, as a matter of fact, I know for a fact that left to my own devices, I could not put anything in the fourth column about where was I wrong, what was my part. I did fill out my columns that way with my sponsor, and I was able to fill in one, two, and three, and I was never able to fill in anything in four, and my sponsor kept saying, it's okay. You don't have to do that alone. We will do that together. So once again, my hand was held, and I was given the faith that I could do with you what I could never do alone. As many times as I felt alone while making that list, I had an army of resources waiting to help. So many of the people in my home group had done a fourth step, had completed their fourth step and lived to tell about it. You all had lived through it. You all had come out the other side. If you could do it, then I could too. I still, at that point, when I began my fourth step, did not have faith in myself, nor did I really completely have faith in a higher power. I wasn't sure what that was yet. I was only beginning to sense it, but I had faith in you and in the we that we were together. And then... For me, the place where I found that unity so essential, I mean, I guess I would say the second place below just being able to walk in the rooms and know that I wasn't alone, was in step five. And I remember early on in program, and I would we would go through the meeting routine, and we would read the steps, and slowly but surely they fell into my mind, and I was able to memorize them. But one that stuck almost immediately was admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. That step five was easy for me to memorize, but it was also sort of upsetting. It made my stomach turn, the idea that I would have to admit my wrongs. And so what was so amazing about the whole process is, as I finished up step four, one of the things that my sponsor kept saying and that I kept hearing in the rooms is, I wasn't alone, and that you had wrongs too, that I wasn't the only one. Are you guys sure? Because I feel like the only one who could have done this many wrongs. So once I finally got that fourth column filled out, it was hard to contain the fear that I had that list was all I was. That list of wrongs was all I was. And I remember kind of closing my mouth and holding my breath and having my sponsor look at me and say, okay, now take out a new piece of paper. We need to list all of your character assets. And what a relief to be able to look at the harms, the wrongs that I'd done, that my part, to feel that beginnings of shame, the beginnings of all these, you know, negative behaviors, and be able to have her say, okay, now you've had enough time to look at yourself and be kind of like leaning towards self-pity and all these things that don't help you move forward. Let's go to your character assets and let's keep moving forward. She led me to believe that I could have made so many mistakes and blamed somebody else for all the fallout and still be a human worth being around. This is where we was defined more closely for me. In step five, it was the we of my higher power, the we of my sponsor, and of me. Excuse me. When I looked through then the rest of the steps, I was, you know, kind of sifting through them, trying to say, you know, what of these steps in 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 speak to me of that unity? And as a mother of grade school age children, I've been watching as my responsibilities become different. And that, so, you know, when you have the newborn baby, there's so much that I had to do to keep that baby safe and alive and cared for. And they get bigger and they grow older and they get more independent, and, you know, now they pack their own backpacks and walk out the door. I think they could even start the car and drive if they wanted to. Seems like they could. But I was looking and I was finding that for me, unity really does flow through everything that I do when I'm in program. However, most importantly, in those first five steps, I really felt the embrace of the program and the we of the program. 6 and 7, 8 and 9, I felt like my circle got a little smaller and my sponsor and I kind of worked as a pair, and then with higher power, of course. And then as I got into 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, my circle got even smaller at first. And it was me and my higher power out there making amends. Me and my higher power working on getting to know each other better. And then me being available suddenly at some random date to say I sponsor. And then it started all over again. Because I'm out sponsoring some newcomer, I'm working through 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and I'm showing all that unity, I'm showing all that we to someone who's walked in these doors, who's come and said, I'm here, I'm alone, and I can't go on. So I kind of like the cycle of that, the circular motion and the continuity of program, and the fact that I get to see through the newcomer what it was like when I first came in and be reminded of that, and that, as was mentioned in the beginning, we all lead very busy lives and have many, many things that we need to do. But first and foremost, my recovery. And I can't do it without being part of it with you, with my higher power, with my sponsor. And that unity has brought me 18 years of program and 18 years of growth. Not always linear growth, and not always a wonderful life. Nobody promised me that. Life is life. But the more I work this program, the more I can deal with life on life's terms without reaching for substances to grab onto. And that's the greatest gift that we could have given me. Thanks.
Thank you.